Hey there, friends, and welcome to the New Testament in a Year podcast. I'm Sean Bailey, and we get to dive deep into a new chapter each week in the New Testament. And this is perfect for first-time readers or long-term believers. I feel like we have come a long way together, and we can grasp that rich and those profound messages of God's Word. And today we're doing just that as we explore Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Before we get into that, though, we need to recap what we covered in chapter 7. So grab your Bible if you can and listen closely if you will. Let's read God's Word together. So Matthew chapter 7, that was the wrapping up of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. That amazing sermon that he gave to all those that were coming from afar and near to listen to all of what Jesus had to say and to experience this amazing man that everyone's been talking about. See, Jesus, on his Sermon on the Mount, he gave these foundational teachings about Christian conduct. How are we going to live this Christian life? And he discuss things like judgment. Now, this is the last chapter, mainly the third chapter of the Sermon on the Mount. It extended from chapters 5 through 7, and 7 wrapped it up. Jesus discussed judgment. He discussed the need for an absolute necessity of asking God for help, going to the Lord, utilizing that amazing structure that he gave us through the Lord's Prayer. The golden rule, the narrow gate that leads to life. He talked about warnings of the false prophets and really just the importance of building our lives on the teachings of Jesus, building it on that solid rock foundation. And he, with that, sets the stage for what comes next as we get to see these teachings being put into action now in chapter 8. So as we move into chapter 8 together, we're going to see a series of miracles that just display the authority that Jesus has, his compassion, and not just in words, but through his amazing actions. Now this chapter is a pivotal chapter because it begins to showcase this divine power that Jesus has in his role as the Messiah. This Messiah who cares deeply for humans and is moved deeply by suffering. We're going to see healings that aren't just limited to certain types of people, but go across all different religious boundaries and societal boundaries. And once again, reinforcing that theme of inclusivity and mercy for every single person, regardless of who they are. So, as we read today, there are some key points that we want to focus on. And here are our three big look fors as we read chapter 8 today. The first big look for is Jesus' authority over disease. Watch as we read chapter 8. Jesus approaches the leper, and the leper shows great faith and reverence by coming to Jesus, and he asks for cleansing, he asks for healing, and recognizes that Jesus has authority over even the worst of the worst diseases. The lepers were shunned and not even considered in society, right? But Jesus, he touched the leper. He was willing to touch the leper, which was just not just religiously, but culturally and medically taboo. He totally lays out his rejection for these societal norms and shows that we're to love anyone, regardless of what ailment you may see on the outside or the inside. The second big look for is Jesus and this centurion. The centurion's faith. Now, there's a Roman officer that is the centurion that shows his faith in Jesus and challenges the religious and ethnic boundaries of that time. And Jesus praises the centurion, says that his faith is greater than any one of Israel, and that sets that precedent for inclusion of Gentiles in his ministry. The Roman officer is not a Jew. He included him. That is a huge milestone in his ministry, and that illustrates the faith in Jesus' authority, that it requires no physical presence, and his words alone are sufficient to heal and save, and we'll see that happen. And the final big takeaway is that, or the final look for, as we're about to read, is that Jesus' power over nature. He calms the storm. He casts out demons. We'll see Jesus control the storms of the world and give that security to his followers, but also casting out demons, the deliverance of two men from being possessed by demons in the region of the Gadarenes. That shows Jesus' supremacy over all spiritual forces. We'll see all that. And then notice the response. Look for the response of how they take this as Jesus displays his might and power. So here we go. Let's read Matthew chapter 8 together. If you have your Bible, turn there with me, or listening closely if you're listening and driving or doing multitasking, what have you. Let's join in and focus on his word together. We'll start in verse 1, and we'll go all the way down to verse 34, as there's 34 verses in Matthew chapter 8. Here we go together. Verse 1. When he came down from the mountain, large crowds followed him. And right away a man with leprosy came up and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Reaching out his hand, Jesus touched him, saying, "I am willing. Be made clean." Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Then Jesus told him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." When he entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed in terrible agony." And he said to him, "Am I to come heal him?" "Lord," the centurion replied, "I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed, for I too am a man under authority, having soldiers under my command. I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." Hearing this, Jesus was amazed and said to those following him, "Truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with so great a faith. I tell you that many will come from east and west to share the banquet with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus told the centurion, "Go, as you have believed, let it be done for you." And his servant was healed in that very moment. Verse 14, Jesus went into Peter's house and saw his mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. So he touched her hand and the fever left her. Then she got up and began to serve him. When evening came, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. He drove out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, so that what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. "He himself took our weaknesses and carried our diseases." Verse 18. When Jesus saw a large crowd around him, he gave the order to go to the other side of the sea. A scribe approached him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus told him, "Foxes have dens and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." "Lord," another one of his disciples said, "first, let me go bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." Verse 23. As he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. suddenly, a violent storm arose on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But Jesus kept sleeping. So the disciples came and woke him up, saying, "Lord, save us. We're going to die." He said to them, "Why are you afraid, you of little faith?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the sea obey him." Verse 28. When he had come to the other side, to the region of the Gadarenes, the two demon-possessed men met him as they came out of the tombs. They were so violent that no one could pass that way. Suddenly they shouted, "What do you have to do with us, Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" A long way off from them, a large herd of pigs was feeding. "If you drive us out," the demons begged him, "send us into the herd of pigs." "Go," he told them. So when they had come out, they entered the pigs, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea and perished in the water. Then the men who tended them fled. They went into the city and reported everything, especially what had happened to those who were demon-possessed. At that, the whole town went out to meet Jesus. When they saw him, they begged him to leave their region. And that was Matthew chapter 8. Let's take a moment now to reflect on Matthew 8. Pull out some big pieces and find some application in our lives. Okay, so after reading chapter 8, and there's a lot there, and I realize that, but we're going to pull three big takeaways that I think are going to help deepen our faith, our walk with Christ. I think the first big takeaway from that, and I'm sure many of these we can sit on, but I want us to realize the first takeaway is that Jesus is accessible and for everyone. This chapter started out with Jesus interacting with a leper, a Roman centurion, and possessed men. His mercy extends beyond the Jewish boundaries. And that is just such a huge news to at that time for all the Jewish believers in the converts of Christianity. And Jesus is the Messiah, not just for the Jews, but the Gentiles, for everyone. And not just that, Jesus is for, as Paul would say in his letter to the Romans, that he's for the Greeks and the barbarians. He's for those foolish and those wise and all everything in between. For everyone, the gospel is, and Jesus is for everyone, regardless of backgrounds, regardless of our past mistakes, regardless of how good we are, how good the world says we are, or how unworthy the world may say we are. The grace of Jesus is available to everyone. And so, if you're hearing this and you feel like you are unworthy, hear that you aren't. Understand that Jesus is for you in your worst condition. Know that while we were still sinners, that Jesus died for us, not when we can get it right, that he would wait to die for us. In our brokenness, in our filth, we are loved the most. And I think we should mirror that in our lives too. We should be as accessible and non-judgmental to everyone in our own lives. I would encourage you to find ways that you can reach out to those who are overlooked, those who are marginalized, those in your workplace, those in your life that kind of just fly under the radar and are there but aren't, if you understand what I'm saying. I'm sure somebody may jump out at you or pray about that. May the Spirit guide you in who that might be. but be there for them, non-judgmental, loving them in spite of their past. I think another big takeaway that we have today is that faith in Christ's authority can bring amazing transformation. You see, the miracles that we saw Jesus perform in this chapter, they weren't just displays of power, but they were essentially invitations to trust in his amazing authority. His amazing power, his authority, his ability to overcome the natural and the supernatural. Believing in Jesus' power to heal and save can completely transform how we live. It will give us the courage to face our own storms, to face our own challenges. Believing in that power, trusting in that power, results in courage to face our difficulties through His amazing sovereignty. Right? And so, may we deepen our faith through prayer, through study, through being with one another, a community of believers, and trusting that His word is sufficient and more than enough for all of our needs. Faith in His authority brings transformation. And finally, the third big takeaway is that the way that we respond to Jesus' miracles shapes our relationship with Him. Look at the different reactions to Jesus' miracles in chapter 8. I think that causes us to look at how we respond to His work in our lives. Are we amazed and welcoming at His transforming power in our lives and just wanting more and more and more of it and letting Him continue to use us? Or we are like the Gadarenes, who are asking Him to leave, begging Him to leave town because He is shaking everything up and He is changing our world and we want things to stay the same. It's like, what? If you look back, why would they want Him to leave? Look at what He just did. But in reality, look what He's doing in our lives. Are we welcoming to that that extreme, radical change in our lives? Because Jesus will bring it if we trust in Him and we want it. He will bring it. But far too often we're like, I'm too comfortable with who I used to be. I encourage you to embrace that change that Jesus wants to make in your life. Embrace that change that Jesus wants to make in your heart. Embrace it. Even if it's uncomfortable, because it will be. But that's the good news of Jesus Christ. He will change you. You are born again. You are different when you believe. Let Him change you from the inside out, and praise God that He can and will. All right, let's close up today. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 9 next, where Jesus gets to continue His miraculous works and calls on Matthew, this tax collector. Watch how that all plays out. I'm looking forward to that one. Thanks for joining me today. May you be blessed. May your family be blessed. And as a result, may you strive to be a blessing to all those around you. Have a great day. Thank you for listening to the New Testament in a Year podcast, where we simply read the Word of God and we try to unpack it so we can find application in our lives, knowing that there is nothing more powerful than God's Word. You see, Scripture is the only source that teaches us who God is and what God wants of us. My encouragement is that the Word of God will bless you and ultimately bless your friends and family. I'll encourage you to share this podcast with your friends, share it on your social media or by word of mouth. Join in, let's read the Word of God together. And through this, may God be glorified through our reading, listening, application, and understanding of His Word together.